Amen. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 38 and verses 39. We want to deal with a series of teachings entitled Fight For. Amen. Amen. Fight for it. Verse 38 in Luke 8. It says, and I'm sorry, I'm at 39. Chapter 9, I'm sorry. Now the man, you're right, chapter 8, verse 38. I was just at the wrong verse in the wrong chapter. But we want to be looking at the demon-possessed man, okay? He says, now, verse 38 says, the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. This is after he'd been cleansed. But Jesus, watch this, sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And watch what he did. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He told him to go, return to his own house, tell and show what God has done for him. And the text says that he went his way. He wasn't hanging around, but he went his way. And he published throughout the whole city the great things that Jesus had done. And I want to use this for a subject, fight for your testimony. Amen. Fight for your testimony. To God who is our Father, Jesus, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, give honor to Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson. Amen. Give honor to our officers and mothers, to our ushers. Give honor to our music ministry and all of our Father's children that are here this morning, whether you be member, visitor, or friend, it is good for us to be here. Amen. Amen. Statistics show that many churches are in decline across the nation. Whether it's from a shifting population or generational change or other factors, the truth of the matter is that the church in the United States of America has suffered a decline. If you don't mind, I'd like to somewhat perform an autopsy. When I look at the decline of the church, I cannot blame it on the buildings, because our buildings are sumptuous, AC, heat, padded pews, chandeliers, ceiling fans, yeah, the lightings, and they are accessible. So I can't blame it on the building. When I look at the decline of the church, I cannot blame it on denominations, because most of our Christian denominations meet 2 weeks or less each year out of the 52 weeks. I don't care what denomination they are. We always meet. They are still sponsoring annual sessions and congresses and Bible institutes. So it's not denominationalism. When I look at the decline of the church, Reverend Johnson, I can't even blame the preacher. Because every Sunday in most churches, in most of our pulpits, there is a common preaching element, whether it's Baptist, Kojic, or Apostolic, or Methodist church. You'll find a preacher, whether they male or female, who shares between the first word and the last word of the sermon the life, burial, death, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ. So I can't blame it on the preacher. So my autopsy report is that the people of God have become vocal in the pews, but quiet in the street. I hope you heard the text. Jesus did tell him to return back to your home. And he said, go tell them and show them what I've done. I'm going to say that again. The problem is that the people in the pews, that they vocal in the pews, but quiet in the street. Oh, yeah, we're very much vocal in the pews about a whole lot of things that's not beneficial to the church or us at all. There has become a silencing of the redeemed. And in the Bible, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. That's what the Bible says, but the redeemed have become so-so about their say-so. If you don't mind, this morning, I've seen believers get excited about a lot of things. Believers get excited about the lottery and the casino, but not their faith. We get excited about Sir Charles and Tucker. Not you, Virgin. But their faith, but not their faith. We get excited about the Steelers and the Cowboys and the Eagles, but not our faith. We get excited about ASU Brave, JSU Tiger, and the MVSU Delta Devils, but not our faith. We get excited about our family reunions, but not about our faith. We get excited about being on an Omega Psi Phi, a Sigma Psi Phi, Alpha Phi Alpha, and a Kappa Alpha Psi, but not about our faith. I've seen believers get excited about being an Alpha Kappa Alpha, and a Delta Sigma Theta, a Zeta Phi Beta, and a Sigma Gamma Rho, but not about their faith. I've seen believers, Reverend Moore, get excited about their Masonic order. Yeah, both Masons and Freemasons, Order of Eastern Stars, excited about being Shriners and all other orders of the craft, but not about their faith. I've seen believers get excited about Weed Sci-Fi, Budweiser Phi Beta, Crown Royal Black Gamma Rho, and Club 29 Delta Zeta, but not about their faith. I've seen believers get excited about Lil Wayne, Yo Gotti, and Gucci Mane, but not about their faith. I've seen believers get excited about the haves and the have-nots. Yeah, yeah, and if loving you is wrong, and swamp people, but not about their faith. I've seen believers get excited about voodoo and YouTube. Yeah, and even a little Netflix, but not about their faith. Well, I'm suggesting that there's anything illicit or illegal about most of the things on this list. But I am suggesting that when you can get excited about things, places, and organizations, all of which have an expiration date. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That the same excitement, if not more excitement and urgency of expression, should be about your salvation. You ought to say something. Just because you say. And herein is the truth, my brothers and sisters. I was not saved to be quiet. God didn't save me to sit down on my testimony. I was not saved to refrain from sharing my faith. I was not saved to get baptized in a pool and not tell anybody about it. I was not saved not to praise God for all he's done. I was not saved just to shout in the church and forget about the Lord's goodness when I go home. I was not saved to become passive about my testimony. But baby, I was saved to say something. No. I have learned that sometimes you have to wade through the details and learn how to share your testimony about what the Lord has done for you. And it has to be so important to you that you would risk ridicule, alienation, and even rejection to share your testimony. But I know what the problem is. Many of us are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're ashamed to let folk know we are saved. We're ashamed to let folk know that for God I live and God I'm willing to die. But oh, when they meet up out at the convention center. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong crowd. But is there anybody here that has a testimony of what the Lord has done for you in your life? How he saved you, how he picked you up, how he turned you around, how he turned your sadness into dancing, how he kept you when you should have lost it, how he provided for you when you couldn't help yourself, how he protected your child in Afghanistan, how he protected you when you was in the wrong house, how he healed you in the hospital room, how he gave you another chance, how he took you from a jacked up situation and made you higher than the hell you were going through. Is it anybody that I fight for your testimony? In this text, we are at the end of a fairly well-known biblical account. Two things are going on. First, we see in this text that Jesus and the disciples are traveling by boat on the lake from Galilee to an area inhabited by the Gadarenean people. But there is a man there in this text who is possessed by demons. And in the text, it's not just one demon. It's not just two demons. But he has demons. I learned what you got when you got an S on something, it's plural. That means it's more than one. Amen. Yeah, I told y'all I wasn't smart in English, but I got through. But he has demons inside of him. And we find out later that he is possessed by a legion of a small army of demons. These demons have caused this man to strip out of his clothes and obtain an unusual strength and to move from a home in a city to a graveyard outside the city. Don't play with demons. Even when it was decided to apprehend him and to contain him hand and foot with chain, the Bible declares that he not only broke the chain, but the demons forced him to live a lonely existence all by himself. My brothers and sisters, I stopped by to tell you that's what demons would do. They would make you go crazy. They would make you act out of character. They would make you act undetainable. They would make you act fatuous. They would make you unloving. They would make you unconnected. They would make you separated from everybody else until there's nobody there but you and you alone. Normally, my brothers and sisters, you would not expect a man like this to change his ways. No, because I know some people. Yeah, I do, who refuse to change their ways. I'm looking at some folks in here that know some folks who refuse to change their ways. And I don't care what you say to them, they're not going to change their ways. Because sometimes they refuse to change because of demonic activity. Yeah, there is something on the inside that refuses to give an inch to the prospects of change. Yeah, they never change anything. And I don't see why in the world are we so afraid of change. Yeah, but see, when things start coming up on our front door. Yeah, I did say door. I didn't say door. When they come up on our front door. Yeah, when they start knocking at our door and start trying to heist up our windows, and then we want to pray for change. Yeah, I ain't never heard so many folk pray for change since this president been in office to this percent. Yeah, but he changing some things. Yeah, he finna wipe out your EBT. You ain't gonna sell me no more. No. Ain't gonna sell you none either. Yeah, you ain't gonna be straight up about it. I hate to bust your bubble. I'm gonna tell the truth on you. Amen. Yeah. He finna give you a box of food now. Yeah, he gonna make you go to work now. Yeah, but we praying for change.
Lord, hold him, Lord. Don't let him do it, Lord. No, Lord, let him do it. And we ain't gonna say amen. Yeah. The text says that when you see folks like they are in a bad condition, but they refuse to change. That they don't have any hope, and they refuse to change. They don't have any joy, and they refuse to change. They don't have any peace. They still refuse to change because there is a spirit on the inside of them that refuses to change. Then there is a second side of this. That there's not a spirit on the inside. But they are just old-fashioned, hard-headed, and stubborn. See, I figured I wouldn't get no old man, no amen there. Yeah. Because see, most of the time the reason why we the way we are, because guess what? We just hard-headed and stubborn. This man had a problem. And he had a condition. And guess what? He couldn't change in and of himself. Watch it. It's not only that they can't change, they have made a conscious decision not to change. I don't care how you present them a better way. You can lay it out from here to heaven. But they just made a conscious decision in their mind that guess what? I ain't changing. See, watch it. See, it's not that they can't praise God. Guess what? That's what. See, they had a meeting within themselves before they got to church and decided that no matter what goes on, I ain't giving God no praise. And then we ought to come here and pump and prime a rascal and tell him, come on, get on your feet and clap your hand and tell the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and all that jerking and all that stuff. No, man. You need to make up in your mind before you get here that I'm going to praise God. Baby, when you get to church, praise ain't about you being cool. You be cool when you trying to holler at somebody or you trying to catch you a man or whatever it is and whatever you're trying to do. That's when you be cool. But when they come to God. Yeah, somebody don't like me today. Ask me, do I care? No. This man was a victim of the former and not the latter. He had demons running throughout his body and nobody would have expected him to have any kind of religious encounter. No, they didn't. You see, we like that about folk. We know folk, and man, ain't no help for them. And we don't expect for them to have no kind of religious encounter. But I have found out that the same folk you think would never have an encounter with the Holy are the same folk that will press their way to see Jesus. This man saw Jesus, the text says, afar off, and he ran and fell at the feet of Jesus. I'm almost done. When he got there, watch this. The demons on the inside of him said, what would you have to do with me, Jesus? I did say the demons, not the man. But the demons on the inside were speaking. And y'all, and sometimes there are some folk, y'all, when they come up on us, you just got to understand that just not might not be them. That's somebody else on the inside that's speaking. So don't you read them their rights. You got to look, know how to look past foolishness. Amen. Amen. See, he asked, what would you have to do with me, Jesus? And he said, I beg you, don't torture me. They didn't say us, but don't torture me. Because guess what? See, look, demons even got a spokesperson. Yeah. You know how we do in our cliques? You know, every clique got a spokesperson. No, huh? See, we get it together, and then the spokesperson of the clique gonna always be the one. They gonna either speak up for the group, they gonna either text for the group, they gonna Instagram the group, they gonna do whatever they need to do, because guess what? Everybody got a spokesperson. Jesus then asked not the man, but the voice that was crying from the inside of him, what is your name? The demon said to Jesus, Legion, meaning we are many. And when you look at Mark's account, Mark said that, guess what, when Jesus cast him out, he said there were 2,000 swine that he cast him out in. And now, apparently, now, I think I'm not crazy, but now, if it's 2,000 swines, guess what? It had to be at least 2,000 demons went into each swine. Each pig had a demon. But for some people, watch this. Jesus is asking you today, what is your name? Some folks can say, my name is alcoholic. My name is adulterer. My name is stuck on porn. My name is gambling. My name is immoral. My name is deceptive. My name is trouble. My name is cussing. My name is broken. My name is dirty and low down. My name is gangster. My name is all of them. Jesus then, watch this, is not afraid of your name nor where you come from. Because guess what, baby? When you rode up on Jesus, he bowed it. He all about that life. Yeah, he all about the life of a sinner. Jesus can change anybody. No matter your habit, no matter your sin, no matter your rap sheet. I wish this morning, baby, I had some people in here that could help me testify that Jesus can change anybody. Because the Bible says that Jesus evicted the demons that were in that man, cast them into a herd of swine. And the swine, the text says, ran down a hill, jumped off the cliff, and drown themselves. Now, excuse me for a moment of utilizing my sanctified imagination, but watch this. But this man met Jesus at the right time. Because guess what? It could have been him. Y'all missed it, didn't you? I'm going to say that again. Guess what? He met Jesus at the right time. Because it could have been him. He could have been the one that ran down the hill. He could have been the one that jumped off the cliff. He could have been the one that drowned in the lake. Y'all see him, Mr. Demon. Let me try it again. If it had not been for the Lord, who was on his side, he could have ran down the hill. He could have jumped off the cliff. He could have drowned in the water. Some of y'all still ain't got it. Let me say it one more time. Let me use some personal pronouns now. If it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side, I could have ran down the hill. I could have jumped off the cliff. I could have drowned in the lake. Let me make some corporate sense and want some of y'all in here just one more time. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we could have ran down the hill. We could have jumped off the cliff. We could have drowned in the lake. Anybody here going to fight for your testimony? Is there anybody here that's glad that the Lord stepped in right on time? Before you lost your mind up in here, before you decided to walk away from God and never serve him, before you found yourself high as a kite, locked down on skid row, soliciting on a street corner, drunk and crashed into a tree, he was on your side. I don't know about you, but he will step in on time. The man, watch this. I like this text. The man who the locusts feared because of his whole self, text helps us discover, found himself being feared because he had an encounter with Jesus. I like that. Because see, not only were they fearful of him before, you would think they wouldn't be fearful of him now. Because now he's been changed. Now he's had an encounter with Jesus. This man teaches us how to love God, watch this, in spite of what others have to say. Because before he came to Jesus, he was a maniac, a lunatic, a crazy man, and everybody avoided him. Now, after his encounter with the Lord, now that the Lord has cleaned his house, the Bible says they all were very afraid. I need to say that folks shouldn't be afraid of your deliverance. They should be afraid of your lostness. Yeah, you know why? Because your lostness will make you hate everybody. Your lostness will make you break into somebody's house. Your lostness will make you sleep with somebody's husband and wife. Your lostness will make you cut Travis' ties and key his car. Your lostness will make you shoot and kill somebody. What they should have been afraid of was his lostness and not his deliverance. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. When you have an encounter with Jesus, your life will never be the same. Old things are passed away. Old habits can be broken. Old words can be retired. Old ways can be mended. Old attitudes can be replaced. This man wanted to get on the boat with Jesus. Watch this. Text tells us he wanted to get in. He wanted to go. He would have been one of the traveling disciples with Jesus. And his testimony, watch this, would have been subjugated to the teachings of Jesus. But watch this. He would not have had the opportunity to say very much because Jesus was on the mission and only had a few months to tell sinners to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus couldn't allow him to go because somebody needed to sail back and tell about Jesus. So Jesus tells him, look, I need you to go back home and tell people how much the Lord has done for you. That's what I need you to do. I'm glad you want to go with me. I would take you with me, but all of us can't ride on this boat. We need somebody to stay behind and tell about the goodness of the Lord. When you have experience, we had an experience with God, your next move is to tell somebody. Lord, have mercy, that went over our head then. This man went all over town. Can I criminalize this for you? He went to the federal building. He went to GHEC. He went to the city school, went to the county schools. He went to Extreme Fitness. He went to Region Banks. He went to Hardy Park. He went to Gateway Tire. He went to North Side, South Side. He went to downtown Greenville. Went to Pizza Hut, Piccadilly, Pot Bellies, and every other belly just to find somebody to tell them what the Lord had done in his life. He told young folk, old folk, black folk, white folks, Asian folk, poor folk, rich folk, unemployed folk, employed folk, dumb folk, wise folk, all about what the Lord had done. But see, we ain't like that. Because see, my brothers and sisters, like this, if you really have been changed, and I'm going to my seat, if you really have been changed, if you really have had your name written in the book of life, if you have really been filled with the Spirit, if you have really given your life to Jesus, if you have really loved the Lord with all your heart, if you really believe that he died on the cross, if you really believe that Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb, if you really believe that he got up with all power in his hand. But baby, my thing is you got to fight for your testimony. Yeah. You got to let somebody know that you were lost in sin, but Jesus took you in. You got to let somebody know that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. You got to let somebody know that Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. You got to let somebody know in spite of what I've gone through, I still have a praise inside of me. You got to let somebody know that this is my season for grace, for favor. Guess what? I'm about to reap what I have sown because it's working for my good. You got to tell somebody, God is my strength. Strength like no other, and that he teaches me now. You got to let somebody know that sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Sometimes cast down, but not destroyed. These are times, there are times that I don't understand, but I've seen God turn it around for me. I'm done. No matter what they say, no matter how they try to stop you, no matter how rough it gets, I stop by to tell you, don't stop telling your testimony. Fight and tell the story. How you made it over. Yeah. You got to fight and tell the story of what God has really done for you in your life. You got to fight and tell the story how God met your need, how he kept you. And you didn't even know you was being kept by him. You got to tell them, you got to let them know that God kept you from quitting, baby. When you was about to throw in the towel, he kept you when the times got rough. He kept you through unseen dangers, and then even kept you in the midst of those dangers. So why be quiet on him? We tell everything except for the gospel. We tell everything except for what God has done for. Only thing we tell folk about what God has done for is that we got a new car. Baby, anybody can get a new car. We got a new house. Anybody can go get a house. All you need is some halfway credit. And you can go get a house. Oh, I got me a necklace. And I got me a new ring. Anybody can go get that baby. What is that to be braggadocious about? Let me let you know something. Look, the Bible says Jesus came to save us from our sin. Not to buy us diamond rings and Cadillacs and all of this stuff. He came to save us from our sin. If you're going to tell anything, tell that. All you need is a job and stay on it and keep it. Know how to budget your money and you can get all that stuff. You can get red bottom, green bottoms, yellow bottom, whatever you want, Air Jordans, Air Brun, whatever you want, you can get it. But that ain't what he called us to testify about. That's material stuff. That don't save nobody. Lord have mercy, Jesus. I know somebody don't like me. He mad because he ain't got a baby. Trust me, I'm not.